Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, staff writers nail another big story. Police call the search off as Tommy Turbo is finally sighted. And Brad Arthur says what we're all thinking. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You're playing games with my heart. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit of the Boys live from the Craig Gower Twin Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who this week bought six nuclear submarines. He's distanced himself from Scott Morrison's nephew and their business Sid's Renos, and tonight he's wearing his kebab outfit from The Masked Singer. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you, my mate over there from down under. Thanks, pal. Hello, Australia. Hello, world.
You can call me really, Mr. Prime Minister.
I'm really excited about the preliminary finals this week. I hope there's no controversy as we find out who will play in the grand final. If Melbourne can add to their JJ Gilton and Shield and take out the title, I hope Dale Finucane has a good game. I'm just trying to put as many words that you can't say into the one sentence, clitoris.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Bibi Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Yeah, first story comes from the Carcore Courier. And it's Karl Stefanovic saw everything in NRL icons' shower mishap.
A bit of controversy.
Channel 9 NRL legend Phil Gould says Karl Stefanovic saw everything when TV icon Ray Warren picked up the phone whilst in the shower. It was not the subject fans expected to hear when they turned in to watch Gus Gould and Ray Warren commentate during the Sea Eagles' mauling of the Roosters on Friday night. The Roosters were being put to the pork sword in the first half when Gus changed the conversation suddenly to air some rumours he'd heard earlier that day following a conversation he'd had in the morning with TV presenter Karl Stefanovic. The tongue-in-cheek conversation left fans not knowing where to look or what to do when Gould poked fun at his colleague about a claimed shower mishap. It began with Gould getting his offsider to admit he takes his phone into the shower with him. He said, "I got a phone call this afternoon from Karl Stefanovic, who said he gave you a ring to wish you luck and you answered it while you're in the shower," Gould said, speaking to the man popularly referred to as the voice of rugby league. "Do you answer the phone while you're in the shower?" he said. "Is that what you do? Did you know it was a FaceTime call? I think he saw everything. I think he saw everything." Without skipping a beat, Rabs responded, "I don't think so. There wouldn't be too much to see anyway. He's probably telling fibs, Stefanovic. I think I said to him, 'I'm getting ready to have a shower to go back to work. Do you mind? Don't you know I was doing..." Sorry, he said, "Don't you know what I was doing with the soap? Dropping the damn thing," he said. Classic. The story had the mayor of Junee immediately declaring he was recommissioning a sculpture, or the re-sculpture of the Ray Warren statue down there in Junee. The new statue will feature a nude Ray bending over, picking up the soap in the shower. And from behind, you'll be able to see the Ray Warren rusty bullet hole and a magnificent pair of dusters, he said. Apparently, if you pull on the left duster, you'll hear Ray say, "I wake up with today, Sid."
Well, this is why people tune in to the Channel 9 coverage former. Great insights from Rabs and Gus yet again. Whilst they were talking about Rabs' pork stalk, Manly scored three tries, and the main screen had a shot of Schuster's knee on the sideline, while the tiny little screen in the corner showed the live action. It's why Channel 9 should never have the rugby league taken off them. To bring more women and children to the game, We need a 78-year-old Ray Warren to put talking about his wrinkly dick in the shower. I know, now, former, I know Fox Sports listens to this show. If you guys over at Fox don't discuss Vossi's morning boner for 10 minutes during the grand final qualifier this week, I'm dead set going to blow up.
Well, this story, Sid, talking of the Ray Warren's pork sword, had me Googling the top 10 most well-hung celebrities in an attempt to bring women to this podcast.
This will get them back.
So I need a 10-to-1 countdown, if you don't
You've
mind.
You've got a top 10. Okay, here we go.
10.
Orlando Bloom. Fucking Orlando's broom, actually. He's dead set sweeping the floor with that big bastard of a thing. If you want to have a look, Google Orlando Bloom paddleboarding and you'll see he's schlong right up the back of Katy Perry, half his luck.
I've seen those photos. Katy Perry was drooling.
9.
I wasn't.
Steve Tyler said.
Steve Tyler.
Apparently 9 inches on the slack alone. 4 inches around. And it inspired the song Hole in the Soul. Hole in the Arsehole.
That's fantastic.
8.
Michael Fassbender. Michael fucking Michael Arsbender. Apparently, according to Charlize Theron, the star of Shame, has a schlong that would reduce all of the X-Men to tears.
Fair dinkum. There you go. I like I like that chick.
7.
I'm not going to ring her up now. I know that, though.
Clitoris. David Beckham. You're right.
Yeah?
Yeah. Has done enough undies ads to leave us in little doubt that his cock split the Spice Girls. Or at least it definitely split Posh anyway.
Oh, he probably ran through all of them. They put bits of bread down there. That's what I've been told anyway. I don't need bread down there.
6.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, right.
Apparently, according to Dame Judi Dench, Sid, just on another note, would you, Dame Judi?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably before I do Dame Edna.
Good three-way. Apparently, according to Dame Judi, the James Bond star has a 0010 or 11.
How many of these you got? 10. This is ridiculous.
5.
Are we up to 5?
Ben Affleck. And from all reports from blokes who have stood next to him at the urinal, they might need to name Goodwill Hunting, Goodwill... doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's why J-Lo went back. Apparently J-Lo went back. I saw it in the news. I'm doing those air quote things. Fucking news.
Staff writers.
4.
Your mate, Justin Bieber.
Yeah, good on him.
Now, I've seen nude pics of him in Bora Bora. It's shown an absolute monstrous long, Sid, so much so that on his wedding night, friends of his new wife, Hayley, said he took her to Bora Bora.
Can't believe you still got those shots of Bora Bora on you as your screensaver. It's embarrassing.
3.
Peter Andre, Sid.
Yeah, right.
His ex, Katie Price, said that Andre's funky junkie is the sight of your standard TV remote control.
Yeah, old Jordan, I think she's seen a few. She'd know.
2.
This one might surprise you. Jay-Z. Now, one of his former lovers says that it looks like a 1-litre Pepsi bottle. She said it's beyond huge. It could block the sun. Now, this story checks out because that's the only way a bloke with a head like that could pull Beyonce. So.
Oh, you'd have to imagine. I thought, you know, he's pretty rich, but still not enough. Nah. He's got a head on him. Are we up to number 1?
Yep.
Who's got the biggest schlong?
1.
Absolutely no surprise here.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee. We've all seen it.
Yeah, we have.
If you're steering a boat with your cock, you're well hung. Shout out to Kid Rock, Sid, who went in out with Pammy straight after Tommy. It's a tough act to follow, that one.
Big socks to fill there, man. Poor bastard. That'll get the ladies under this podcast.
You're welcome, ladies.
There you go. Am I right, ladies? There you are.
And a couple of you blokes. One from the Coonabarabran Chronicle says, influencer claims to make £43,500 a month reporting strippers for tax avoidance.
Boo. What a dickhead.
a TikTok influencer, where all the dickheads hanging out, said, has gone viral after claiming to make 60 grand Australian a month reporting strippers to the Internal Revenue, whatever that is, the S bit, the tax office. Richard Rash, an influencer with 840,000 followers, told his fans that he rats out strippers for tax evasion on the International Revenue Service.
There it is.
Whistleblower's website. But strippers on TikTok have slammed him and said that the video spreads misinformation about the adult industry and encourages harassment.
There's a lot of misinformation about the adult industry for one.
Well, not in my eyes. In his recent video, Richard showed his followers the steps he takes to report strippers to the US governmental service.
What a dog.
He included a screenshot of the whistleblower page and noted that anyone can earn 30% of their money if they are not paying taxes. So basically, if he dobs them in, he gets 30% back from the government.
What a joke.
Richard also...
I don't like this bloke.
He also encouraged others to report strippers on TikTok and accused the dancers of not paying taxes. He said, "It's business, baby," as he licked his pan and rolled on his back to piss up his own guts. Strippers... I'm on board, said he's a dog. Strippers, who Richard has stitched his videos with, that's where you follow the video next to your own clip.
I know what it means.
I've got no idea. Have faced harassment from his followers. Some of Richard's fans have even said they will rob or report the women. The exotically named Skia Sportage, who's a Tempe stripper and TikTok creator, commented, "He's making things worse for us. We get so much hate and he creates so much more hate." Over the last couple of years, sex workers have been working to destigmatize the community through platforms like TikTok, YouTube, OnlyFans, My Free Cams, Campster, Fire Cams, Jerkmate, Chatterbait, Strip Cams, Camp Soda, and Slut Roulette.
I haven't seen the soda one. What's that? Send me a link.
Camp Soda, I recommend. Popular hashtag StripTok on the video website allows people to see inside the world of adult entertainers. But Richard has targeted women who show their weekend's earnings and said, "I'll be taking 30%. Or their job seeker, meaning he'll snitch on them to the IRS.
Ooh.
The bloke claims his videos are meant to be a warning after posting your earnings as an independent contractor online. And he said, "And be careful flexing on social media if you're a 1099 worker." He went on to say a few more things, but someone blew a dog whistle and he heard it. But sex workers have said he's adding to their harassment online, encouraging people to dox strippers. Plus, despite Richard's claims, strippers pointed out that they might be paying taxes just like singers and regular dancers. Tempe-based dancer Ford Courier told the Coonabarran Chronicle, "Every dancer is different and every entertainer has different things going on. She may be filing taxes under her business or filing taxes under her own brand."
Yeah, and it's none of your business, Richard. Can't believe this bloke's making money off these poor ladies. But I actually follow StripTok on TikTok former.
Really?
Yeah, it does. It shows how much cash strippers make, and they do videos on how they prepare for their shift, how long it's been since they've seen their dad doing little dances like Nathan Cleary. It's fascinating stuff. Get on StripTok, everybody. Here's one that I found that you might like, former. Have a listen.
"Hi, I'm Sharon from Tempe Strippers. Here's what I pack in my bag before a shift: a bottle of Femme Fresh, some Britney Spears perfume, 2 packets of Winnie Reds, a packet of Fishman's Friends just to keep me breath fresh, 2 Frangers and 6 KFC wet wipes. I'm ready to go. See you on the pole."
Full credit to the boys.
Our next story comes from the Collector. Formula One fan was arrested post-Dutch GP after being mistaken for a mafia boss. A rather bizarre story has come to light of a Formula One fan being arrested and then left after he visited the Dutch GP and was mistook as a mafia boss. Mark L, 54, was taken...
That's his real name, former.
...taken into custody while he was eating in a restaurant with his son in the Netherlands earlier in the week. He'd visited the F1 Dutch Grand Prix over the September weekend at Circuit Zandvoort. The police burst in with a European arrest warrant issued by the Italian authorities, where he was blindfolded and taken away on Wednesday. the man from Liverpool, who went all the way to Holland to avoid having to listen to the Sky F1 commentary team, was mistaken as a Sicilian crime lord, Matteo Messina Denaro, who was wanted over the bombings in 1993, in which 10 were killed and 93 were injured. He was subsequently freed after hurried procedures, but he was left shaken due to the incident. His lawyer, Ferris Wheeler, said, "It's like a bad movie, a nightmare that my client found himself in. Imagine one moment you're having a bite to eat and the next you're in a maximum security Dutch prison finding out exactly what Dutch ovens really are." A spokesman for the police prosecutor's office said Mark L. is an English citizen and not the person claimed by the Italians. The outcome of the investigation, which was conducted via an accelerated procedure, turned out to be negative. The police prosecutor then issued an immediate release order at the beginning of the evening.
What an adventure this bloke has had, former. I actually wouldn't even be mad. What a great story to tell your mates. Those Dutch prisons, they're not even that scary. They're like a holiday camp. He was only in there 3 days, former, and he came out with a Certificate 3 and a forklift license. But this is embarrassing for the Dutch police, the freaky-deaky Dutch bastards. I've got an exclusive, former, the interview with this bloke when the Dutch police thought this poor, innocent fella was a mafia boss. Have a listen to the interview.
Are you in the mafia?
Am I in the what?
Whatever you want to call it, organized crime.
That's total crap. Who told you that? I'm in a waste management business. Everybody immediately assumes you're mobbed up. It's a stereotype, and it's offensive. There is no mafia.
There you go. He doesn't even sound like he was in the mob.
I'm sold. NRL Round Review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yeah, semi-finals week two, Sid, and we started on Friday night when the Sea Eagles had a training run against the Roosters, winning 42 points to 6. The Sea Eagles ran out 36-point winners over the Roosters to advance into the preliminary final.
The what now?
Preliminary final.
Yeah, okay.
It was 24-6 at halftime. You want to be careful, mate. It was 24-6 at halftime, and Manly kept the Roosters scoreless in the second half as Turbo Tom Trbojevic scored a double by 46th minute in a fine return to form.
No worries, pal.
Ultimately, the Roosters got the final bit of juice out of the lemon in 2021, but it was predictable given all their injuries that they could go no further in the competition for the year.
Yeah, Tommy Turbo barged over for the first try after a dubious penalty, but we won't worry about that. The Roosters then kicked off, and Hank Scorpio hung his pasty little white leg over the sideline, and the Eagles were back on the attack straight away. And soon after, the two good Trbojevic brothers combined with a cracking try as Jake sent a no-look pass. He knew where his brother was going to be, unlike Herbert. He knew that he'd have a flying Tommy on his inside who broke through and sent four and over. And the first 20 minutes was all the Eagles. A lot of people were writing off Tommy Turbo, former, after his poor game last week. But old Sid Punts here, he knew he'd come through with the goods, and he had a cracking game. It was a great season for the Chooks. So many injuries. It was always going to be a tough ask to beat Manly in this one. But I didn't think we'd see such a blowout in the end. It was a dominant performance from Manly that sets up a cracking preliminary final against the Bunnies this week. I can't wait.
In his press conference, the man with the Farrah Fawcett haircut, Des Hasler, looked like a man absolutely stinging for a shit at a Newcastle nightclub while wearing white jeans, because he offered up some quirky answers to some of the questions staff writers threw his way before trying to get the hell out of there. When he was asked about Blake Taff, the South Sydney fullback who will go up against Trbojevic this week, he said, "He's a good player, Blake, and we'll have to be on our guard." He said, "They got lots of attack. I think their forwards have been playing very underrated. It'll be a tough game." Hasler then tried to make a hasty exit out of the press conference before one last question from Fox League's Jake Duke about Manly's progression from losing to the Roosters in round one to beating them in the semi-finals. "Round one was about 6 or 7 months ago. Does it really matter?" Duke responded by saying, "Well, it started slow, but the journey has really picked up momentum." Hasler retorted by saying, "You couldn't have said any better, Duke. Thanks for standing up and walking out."
The press conferences have been as good as the games in the semis. It's been great.
Well, on the other side of the fence, Beasting Robinson showed the class of a bloke who's already been told he's won the Dally M Coach of the Year. Robinson admitted the 2021 season was unlike any other he'd experienced in his 8 years at the club and opened up on how proud he was of the group for what they'd achieved as a squad. I just said to the guys in there in the dressing sheds, it's obviously the craziest coaching year I've ever had. Just to retire absolute legends of the game, to see the injuries we've had, every game was a new combination and a new task. But the attitude of the guys to go about that was incredible. Every week was righto, we can do this. I know that hurt tonight, but I know that we're a better team because of the way we've handled ourselves this season. I'm incredibly proud of the staff and the regular players, and players that aren't playing, and players that didn't think they were going to play and played 15 games, whatever.
Yeah, two completely different press conferences. What's the go with Desi's hair former? I know we're all struggling because Boris Garaglikian won't let us go down the hair salon. Love going down there. But Desi is reveling in it. He looks amazing.
Yeah, but he's in Queensland where you can go to a hair salon.
Yeah, he just loves it. He loves it. And Manly are now one game away from a grand final berth after you and I had Manly not going this far. Let's just put it that way. It was an incredible effort by the Eagles. Who gets Coach of the Year this year, former? Out of the top five teams, Manly have come this far with what many thought was a weaker roster. Beasting has come this far through all sorts of problems like you just rattled off there. Bellamy is just Bellamy. Wanye,
one night in a row.
Wanye is just Wanye. And Ivan Cleary can get fucked. So...
That's Maguire's stiff. You didn't name him in that crowd. But I just think, I know we've talked about this before, I think Beasting Robinson. I honestly do. I think what they've achieved to be one game away from the preliminary final was incredible given the amount of people out. And we always joke about their salary cap and their roster and everything else. But it's just been an enormous effort given that it's just been so much unsettlement in that lineup.
I totally agree, but I'd give it to Desi because I just I love his hair and I want to hear his acceptance speech.
Well, the second game on the weekend on Saturday,
what a cracking game of football this was!
It was a pearler. Yeah, the Panthers beat the Eels 8-6. The Panthers held on to defeat the Eels in an epic encounter, and they did it without
Panthers winger Brian
who was ruled out with a mysterious injury a day before the game.
Yeah, mysterious. Shenanigans around the pool. There, I said it.
I didn't say it, you said it. the Panthers won by 2 points in what was the lowest scoring game of the season. 2021 is all over for the Eels, while the Panthers will play against the Melbourne Storm this Saturday for a spot in the grand final. It was 8-6 at the break as Penrith kicked an arrogant goal, penalty goal on the stroke of half-time. The second half was the ultimate game of angry chess as neither team could find a way to crack the scoreboard. It came down to the final 60 seconds with the Eels attacking the Panthers line when Junior Paulo dropped a sketchy Raystone pass, and that was all she wrote. With the line beckoning, the Penrith under a heap of pressure with a minute left on the clock, the Eels spilled an unwanted ball, as it dropped to the ground, and so did Parramatta's chances of sealing back-to-back finals wins for the first time since 2009.
Yeah, I can't believe West Tigers let Ray Stone go 5 seasons ago. That was an article from Staff Writers not long ago. Jeez, Ray Stone had a good game in this one. But it was another battle of words in the press conference. Para coach.
I'm a dead man walking. I'm a dead man walking.
B. Arthur tried to do a Wanye Bennett and suggested Penrith's whinging over the last few weeks might have led to the Panthers getting some favourable calls in this game, and there were some interesting calls. Late in the second half, the Eels made a break, only for play to be halted when Penrith's Mitch Kenny went down with an ankle injury former. He's not sitting there half passed out with a head injury. He hurt his ankle.
He's not bleeding from the face.
He hurt his ankle? We don't know. He got taken off and they used a free interchange. But there was a lengthy stoppage in play that let the Panthers get their defence reset and repel the Eels' attack. Asked about it in his post-match conference, B. Arthur said, they, Penrith, have been complaining over the last couple of weeks. They got what they were after from the back of whinging. We're trying to make the game faster. How many stoppages were there when we started to get on top? The bunker gets involved and we had a 7-2 penalty count. The bunker gets involved for what reason? We make a line break out of the backfield and Will Penisy gets tackled off the ball. And Mitch Moses, always welcome on the show, is running
Mitch
there.
Mitch Moses, another penis.
Mitch is running there to chase and he gets tackled in the background off the ball. That was a bad one, I've got to say. Cleary was asked about this issue in his press conference.
Another penis.
But batted away questions. I don't understand, Cleary said. What did I say? I don't understand that. I made a comment for what I believe in last week. I don't know how that helped anyone. I didn't talk to anyone this week, he said, as he burst into tears, thinking again how Wanya Bennett used Jedi mind tricks on him and fucked him.
According to Aaron Wallace on Twitter, at WallySCR, it was Penrith's lowest scoring win since 1994. Sid.
Wow.
And it was interesting comparing some of the Panthers' forward stats from this game. The inside-out Ugboot, Viliami Kikau's agent, reckons he's worth at least $800,000 a year.
Mm.
He made 9 tackles, ran 3 times for 18 metres, had a handling error and a ruck infringement. It's the second week in a row the usually dangerous back row has been missing in action.
Are you going to tell him? Are you going to tell him he's playing like a busted?
I'll tell you while he's in Queensland, is he? I'll call him up now. Give me his number.
You're no good.
You
see wouldn't ya. Do it, you weak prick.
My name's Sid Punt. See ya. Tevita Pangai Jr., on the other hand, came to the club from the Broncos for the back end of the season at around $120,000 for the end of the year. On Saturday, he played just 33 minutes, but in that time, he ran for the most metres out of the entire Penrith forward pack for 146 metres and had the equal most runs with Isaiah Yeo, who played the entire game, Sid.
Yeah, look, it makes a mockery of the whole system, this Pangai Jr. business, playing for the Broncos most of the season. Then on his way to the Bulldogs next year, he stops off at the Panthers, plays 6 games, and now he's going to play in a preliminary final. I don't like it, but what a game this will be. What everyone thought would be the grand final replay, the Panthers versus the Storm. It's come a week early. It's going to be a cracking game, and Pangai Jr. will be right in the thick of it, probably more so than the inside-out Ugboot.
Well, we start the news with Fox Sports, who have had an absolute piss-tear of a week reporting stuff. They report that Brisbane playmaker Anthony Milford was arrested on Sunday night following an alleged assault in Fortitude Valley in Brisbane. Milford, 27, was arrested at 2 a.m. on Monday morning with 3 counts of assault occasioning bodily harm and 1 count of willful damage after an argument with his wife, Miri, and he spent a night in the police lockup. The Courier Mail reports that 3 onlookers intervened after seeing Milford and his wife involved in an argument. The NRL are yet to respond to the news, although it's been reported that the Integrity Unit will open an investigation. Milford is about to join South Sydney later this year after the Broncos opted to not renew his $1 million contract.
Yeah, unfortunately, the NRL atrocity meter is back to 0 days yet again, former. We've had another off-field indiscretion. I'm telling you, by the sounds of this, it's not good. Brisbane are washing their hands of him, saying he's not our problem anymore. South Sydney today, there's a few rumours that they might tear up his contract. I don't know what Lachlan Lewis thinks. He gets busted for selling a speaker on eBay. And some of this happens. We'll wait and see. We don't know the details, former. We don't know.
Michael Maguire has survived the axe.
Yes.
Not my words. And will coach the West Tigers in 2022 after the club met to consider his future following an end-of-season review. Maguire has been under enormous pressure to keep his job, according to a number of alleged journalists who feel they can make the news and not just report it. Staff writers had reported on the weekend that Michael Maguire's time at the West Tigers had reportedly all but come to an end, with the club set to begin its hunt for a new coach, Sid. They said it was all a matter of time before Maguire met the same fate as Potter, Sheens, Taylor and Terry Lamb. Now, according to a News Corp report, Panthers assistant Cameron Soraldo was at the top of the Tigers' coaching wish list. However, if he had have opted to remain under Ivan Cleary, the likes of Super League coaches Steve McNamara and Christian Wolf, as well as the England international team's coach Sean Wayne, were all said to be in the mix, Sid.
Yeah, I'd go with Mr. Wolf. I don't even know who he is, but that sounds cool.
When in doubt, he'd call the Wolf.
This really gets my goat, former. This is just the news cycle created by staff writers who have plan B and C when their predictions don't come true. The West Tigers said they would have a review of their season, and that's what they're doing. Staff writers then said there's going to be a board meeting and he's going to be sacked on Monday afternoon. West Tigers came out and said, no, we're not having a meeting Monday afternoon. So what do the Fox reporters do? Say, what a shit fight of a club this is. They can't even organise a meeting on the Monday that they didn't announce. Fox people announced. So then here we go again. Oh, he's going to survive. He's not going to survive. The club has not said anything until today that confirmed that Madge Maguire still has 2 years on his contract. This has all been brought up by the media, and when they get found wrong, they just move on, and they've already got the same replies written no matter what the outcome is.
It's genuinely unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable, I suppose, because we've seen it before, but just watching this whole cycle take place, and what you know is that they never lose, the journos. Yeah. They're like the house at the casino. Like, they never lose because they can report the absolute biggest bullshit story in the world, and if it doesn't take place, then they blame the club for being a schmozzle.
Like, I don't understand why.
Give me a spell.
I was talking to you off air about this. If they were going to have a meeting on Monday afternoon, they didn't announce it, but just say that they were going to have that meeting, and they've spoken to Seraldo, and he said, look, I'm not in a position to talk about it for a couple of weeks, then who cares if the West Tigers end-of-year review goes for 2 more weeks? We have a coach. If there's someone better that could be brought in, like a Flanagan, I can't even say it with a straight face, but let's say they wanted to go with Seraldo and he's like, I can't discuss it for 2 more weeks. Who cares if we have a review for 2 more weeks? Nothing's happening at the moment, especially for West Tigers. We don't really participate at this time of year. So who cares if they put it off a day, 2 days, another week? If they're going to replace a coach that's already under contract for 2 more years, they want to get all their ducks in a row and have someone that's better, and I can't see anyone on the market that's better. So,
there's not, mate. Only 2 weeks ago, they were telling us Paul Green is a walk-up start. And, mate, and then it was, oh, no, Shane Flanagan. And then it was Paul Green again. And then this week it was Cameron Seraldo. Talk about just throwing darts at a board and just seeing what sticks. And ultimately, they had a 50-50 shot. Either Madge was going to stay or was going to go. They went all in. He was going to go. When they got it wrong, they then said the club's a shit show because he's still there.
Yeah, he's like, he's fulfilling his contract for the next 2 years.
For Christ's sake, admit that you just were just making bullshit up and you got it badly wrong.
And if he was sacked, then they would go into it that they're wasting $750,000 on another.
Exactly right.
But if they had to just shut up the whole time, we don't know what's going on with other clubs, whether they're looking into sacking coaches or not. We didn't come last this year. There's a few other clubs. Why are we always in the spotlight? Because it's clickbait and they love it.
And the other thing that the other side shoot out of this story is what you just said before we came on air was that it was reported that at least one player at Penrith wasn't going to re-sign at Penrith until he knew whether Seraldo was going to be the assistant coach.
What a load of shit.
That will genuinely do me. Like, who the fuck has signed a contract on the proviso that an assistant was going to be there?
Yeah, I want to know before I sign with him who the ball boys are going to be, who's the physio. What a load of shit. They just make it up, and then when they get it wrong, they've already got that.
They get played by player managers. That's the other thing.
You can't tell me there aren't leaks coming out of West Tigers that a few of these stories may have been to see where the leak is.
Well, that's the allegation today, and from good mail too, that they reckon they've identified the leak, and he's not very popular at the club. Yeah, so
good.
Shout out. Shout out to him.
Hmm.
Former Knight star James McManus. I said McManus has had a landmark court case over repeated concussions involving his former club dismissed just days before it was set to be heard. Fox Sports report that McManus, who played 166 games for the club, began proceedings against Newcastle in 2017 and had been suing for $1 million. The winger, now 35, claimed his career, which would have been prolonged with further contracts on offer in the Super League, was instead forced to end in 2015. The three-time New South Wales Blues winger said he had suffered from mental health issues, chronic traumatic, encephalopathy.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
CTE, after seven concussions. In a statement, the NRL said the claim brought by James McManus against the Newcastle Knights, which was managed by the NRL, had been finalised with the Supreme Court ordering judgment for the Knights. The NRL is pleased with the long-running matter, and it's been resolved in the Knights' favour. The NRL was confident in its defence of the claim under the Civil Liability Act, and we are also pleased that the matter could be resolved without further cost and expense for all parties.
McManus is harder to say than McManus, but here we are. You've done well. Look, this is a very interesting case, and it's the reason why the NRL have had a clampdown on head-high tackles. We may not like the way the game's headed, but the NRL needs to be seen to be doing everything in their power to protect their players, because concussions are always going to be part of the game. We've seen a massive lawsuit in the NFL, and if we have the same in Australia, it would send the game broke. It would be the end of the game. It's a real problem. The way things were done in the good old days was you just got up and played on, even when you were concussed. There was very little knowledge or care about concussions. We're going to see more and more cases like this, but with this judgment handed down this week, it's put a pause on a class action that was going to be made against the NRL. So it's interesting times where I don't think there will be any winners out of it, unfortunately.
No, I think you're right there, mate. And if I have mispronounced James's last name, I apologise to him and the McManus family. At the moment, Aaron Woods is without a club for next season. But that could change with News Corp, while I'm in, reporting that Manly coach Des Hasler is considering offering the veteran prop a two-year cut-price deal. Woods has played over 230 games over stints with the Tigers, the Bulldogs and the Sharks. He represented both New South Wales and Australia and was named Dally M Prop of the Year in 2015 and 2017.
Geez, he had a good career at the Doggies. I don't know.
Made some good friends, lifelong friends there.
Not sure. He went there because his lifelong friend was there, and then he pissed off to Newcastle. It was amazing. It was reported today that Aaron Woods' fairy tale / nightmare return to the West Tigers will not be happening. So at least that's one good thing our board.
Who said that? Staff writers?
That's at least one good thing our board has done this week. It won't be reported by staff writers, because that would have been an absolute disaster.
Warriors young gun Reece Walsh has edged out Roosters star Sam Walker to claim the Rugby League Players Association's Rookie of the Year and also won Best Eyes of the Year. Walsh and Walker were the two players in the running for the award, and it was revealed on Channel 9's The Sunday Footy Show, and the Warriors fullback got the nod for his eyes. The 19-year-old had a dramatic rise this season. He started the year at the Broncos, struggling to break into their best 17. After getting an early release to join the Warriors, he not only cemented his spot in the 17, but also forced skipper Roger Tuivasa-Sheck out of the number one jersey. Walsh made his NRL debut in round 7 and went on to play 16 games. He also got a call-up to Paul Green's Queensland Maroon side. However, an injury robbed him of his State of Origin debut.
Yeah, it was a close-run race, but judges said it came down to Reece Walsh's dreamy eyes and the fact that Sam Walker ran backwards for 80 metres in a game, got Walsh over the line. Both players have had a great season, and how good is it, former, that the Dally M medal now goes over two unbearable nights?
Oh,
talk about flogging a dead horse. This farce
should be a week.
This farce is now held over two boring nights. Why?
It should be a week, and they should be in costumes like the doner kebab and the fish and the wizard.
Yeah, that'd be
sick. And then they should reveal the winner by pulling their helmet off at the end of the night. Oh, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We know Fox Sports is listening. Get on it, Fox. And
get Dave Hughes involved because I can't get enough of Dave Hughes.
Johnson, a step back. For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
And Osher. Get Osher involved.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's Tom Trbojevic, I think. AFL. The pre-match entertainment for the 2021 AFL Grand Final has been officially revealed, and the lineup is stacked with plenty of homegrown talent. Due to the ongoing COVID-19 outbreak, the AFL's season finale has once again been moved away from the MCG. Perth's Optus Stadium will host the Melbourne Demons and Western Bulldogs in front of 60,000 fans on Saturday. The AFL confirmed Perth-based alternative rock group, the Birds of Tokyo, will headline the Grand Final's halftime show alongside the Western Australian Symphony Orchestra.
Okay.
This year's pre-match entertainment is loaded with Western Australian talent, including John Butler, Eskimo Joe.
Love Eskimo Joe.
Abby May.
Who?
Indie Phenom Stella Donnelly. Mm-hmm. Men at Work's Colin Hay.
Love Colin Hay.
Young Australian of the Year, Baker Boy.
Okay.
And Kim Beazley. The Kmart Halftime Spectacular will culminate with 10,000 dancers doing lines off cheap crockery in a tribute to the roles the Wags have played in the past two pandemic hit seasons.
What a fantastic initiative that is, Former. Oh, that would be great. You know how cheap...
Good on Kmart for recognising there's an opening and just jumping on board.
Mate, those plates are really cheap at Kmart. I read that in the news. Anyway...
in three different articles.
There was also a rumour going around that Sacha Baron Cohen might make an appearance.
What was that about?
I don't know. Let's hope that he's going to run amok and do one of his pranks, gets up there, the AFL thinks, he's a big star, and then he just absolutely runs amok. Because you know how good the AFL Grand Final entertainment is, Former. This does the rounds every year, but I'm going to run it again. This was the greatest ever in 2011, Meatloaf. He shouldn't have done that. It was horrible. When can the SKPs get a run, mate?
I don't know why you don't think that was great. Do you know how hard it is to impersonate a piss bloke impersonating you?
That's what the rumor was, that Sacha Baron Cohen is going to get up there dressed as Eddie Mercury and sing Queen songs. In what world is that going to be good? I guess in AFL Grand Final entertainment world, that'll be great. Get him on a hovercraft. He's sick.
Rugby. Hashtag talk other games down. The Wallabies have left sport commentators cracking gags after they ran onto Suncorp Stadium on Saturday night with jerseys that included an unfortunate oversight. The unexplained appearance of the Wallabies players wearing jersey numbers almost invisible to the human eye briefly overshadowed their epic, their words not mine, 30-17 victory over South Africa. The win has seen the Wallabies climb up to number 3 ranked team in the world. Who's number 2? Daylight?
I want to know who's 4, 5, and 6. How shit are they going?
The Pumas, the Puma Pants. Number 3 ranked team in the world after a second half double to a rugby league player, Marika Korobedi, shut the door on the sloppy Springboks. It's the Aussies' second win over the South Africans in 7 days, knocking their opposition off the top of the world rankings. Australia's popular new permanent jersey designs features a First Nations artwork printed on the numbers players are wearing on the back of their jerseys. The design has been a roaring success since it has been announced earlier this month that the artwork by Indigenous artist Dennis Golding will be a permanent feature. but not if nobody can actually see it. Social media lit up early in the first half when the gold numbers with light green trim were almost impossible for fans to see, blending into the rest of their jerseys, as high-profile business mogul Scott Phillips wrote on Twitter, not sure who Scott is, Wallabies jersey idea, 10 out of 10, execution, 1 out of 10.
Yeah, but Scotty Phillips, he can say all he wants. Rugby is back, former. We've beaten the Springboks twice now. Two very exciting games, they tell me. What else is boring? Even their scandals, former, are boring. The numbers on the jerseys are hard to see. Oh, no. No one's watching anyway. Who cares?
Soccer. Brazilian football star Hulk. That's right. Hey? Hulk has announced his ex-wife's niece is pregnant with his fourth child.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a lot for me to unpack there. Run that through by me again.
How good is Home and Away in other news? The 35-year-old confirmed Camilo Angelo was expecting in an Instagram post, which is where you do all your big announcements these days, which included footage of them kissing. Hulk started dating the 32-year-old, who was the niece of his ex-wife, Irani Angelo, in late 2019 after ending his 12-year relationship with his former lover a few months earlier. When asked why his original marriage broke down, Incredible said, "I never had a relationship. I never had a relationship with Camilla when I was married. I'm a man. I was not happy in my marriage. I had countless reasons. I spent my entire marriage betraying Iran. I love Iraq. She lived a single life. She just wanted to have the status of being the wife of Incredible."
I don't know, Incredible. Like, I don't want to make him angry and burst out of his shirt and get all green and stuff, but I think the reason why his wife was pissed off was he's rooting her niece. I don't know, it's a red flag.
She's your old-fashioned. Gridiron, Jordan Mailanta has officially signed the richest ever contract by an Australian in the NFL. The 24-year-old former South Sydney Rabbitohs talent has been in a fight for the starting offensive tackle position at the Philadelphia Eagles, a battle that had a fortune riding on it. Mailanta, who doesn't get heartburn, won the battle and also won a whopping four-year contract that could be worth up to $108 million Australian dollars if he meets performance bonus clauses, pretty much like Daly Cherry Evans. As first reported by ESPN, the deal is worth $64 million US, with 40.85 of that actually guaranteed. He could end up earning $27 million per season, according to stats company PFF, which supplies data for NFL broadcasters ESPN. Mailanta is now the 12th highest paid offensive tackler in the league.
That is awesome. If Mailanta doesn't jump on him straight away and give him a sponsorship deal, I don't know where we're at. But that is a huge contract former. And there's already talk that he could come back to the NRL and play for the Roosters.
Well, I heard that Mailanta was coming under the watchful eye of Dave Rennie, the heartburn tablet. So watch this space, Sid. Boxing. Philippine boxing superstar Manny Pacquiao has launched his presidential bid in the 2022 elections with vows to tackle poverty and corruption, as he seeks to win over voters with his rags-to-riches story.
Sick, I'd vote for him.
Pacquiao accepted the nomination of his PDP Laban party at its national convention on Sunday, saying the Filipino people have been waiting for a change of government. Very close, I'd imagine. Bordering.
Ah, both you and I are thinking of the same person right now. That's hilarious. Anyway, keep going with your racist rant.
I'm a fighter and I always will be a fighter, inside and outside the ring, Mr. Pacquiao, 42, said in his speech. Pacquiao, once a close ally of current President Rodrigo Duterte, had said more than 10 billion pesos.
He's been driving around in his Ford Focus.
He said over $24.50 million in pandemic aid intended for poor families. was unaccounted for, adding this was just one discovery in his planned corruption investigation.
He's doing great work.
Don't you make jokes just for yourself?
I'm not sure how many people out there will be laughing along right now, but geez, I'm having a good time. He's been driving around town drumming up business in his Port Bocas, his Port Bestiva. What else you got for that story?
I don't talk about it anymore.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
Yeah, it's time for the greatest podcasting segment in all the world, Sid. It's time for this.
We all want you. If you wanna make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, it's time for Grabber Mirrors. Don't forget, you can reply to my original Grabber Mirror around 7:30 on a Tuesday. Use the hashtag Grabber Mirror, hashtag GAM. I'll do a second one around 3, 3:30, sometimes 4. Same thing, use the hashtag Grabber Mirror, hashtag GAM. It's thanks to our mates up there on the far north coast, NDF Electrical. Bunch of champions.
Best in the business.
Sid, I might go first.
Yeah, go first. You've been looking forward to this one.
Bit of low-hanging fruit here, I've got to tell you.
What do you got?
Grab a mirror, Maccas.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, I want to start off by saying it's not even in my top 10 favourite fast food joints.
Every time I speak to you, you're going through the drive-thru telling the lady that you love them.
You say lady. I say 17-year-old. not my fault they put kids on. Now, it's not even my... But I do appreciate... that it's a takeaway of convenience, Sid.
Yep.
But there's a couple of stories this week that have come out that remind me of why McDonald's is nothing more than a place to buy burgers thrown together across the room by kids on $8 an hour that spend most of their shifts picking their faces.
Yep.
Now, the first story came out of England, and it's led to a bloke switching from being just a normal bloke to becoming a vegan. And I mean, another good man lost, Sid.
Yeah.
After he ordered a bacon and egg McMuffin on the weekend. Now, when Russell Sprout pulled apart his muffin to put some sauce on it, he looked down at the slice of bacon to see what can be best described as a nipple, looking straight back at him.
I don't know that I'd even be mad. Did it still taste like bacon?
Well, as you said off air, Sid, in your mad shagger days, you've been on the end of a couple of real pig's nipples, never once that turned you into a vegan. But not this bloke. He's dead set, shit the gear, and decided then and there that he's off meat. Which to me is like finding out your car's got an oil leak and declaring you're never going to drive one again. Because hopefully now that he's become a vegan, he's also a CrossFitter, so he's got two different boring stories to end parties.
Yeah, he'd be fantastic at a party.
But then there's this second story, Sid, about a nurse who just finished a double shift in the COVID ward and has decided she treat herself with a few McNuggets on the way home.
Mm.
Quite often the way me and you treat ourselves with a couple of nuggets on the way home, when I say couple, you know, 36, 40. now, Anita Lode got home and opened her brown paper bag, much like Nick Politis on a golf course, and found that instead of her nugget box being full of deep-fried beaks and feet...
Was it nipples? Tell me it was nipples.
It was sliced pickles.
Eh?
Not a nugget to be seen, Sid, just a container full of sliced gherkins and tears.
Putrid.
As Anita cried and did what we all did, all would do, photoed the box of Macca's window ornaments and called up the Daily Mail, which is still better than declaring yourself a vegan, I'll admit.
Yep.
So grab a mirror, Macca's. Outside of being the choice of takeaway for glass Barbie enthusiasts and end-of-shift sex workers and interstate truckies, you offer little else than a place for broken families to meet to collect your kids for the weekend. and cat piss coffee.
10.
How many did we get this week? Was there a plethora of entries?
Seven, but I've made three up. So
okay, good, good.
So pick which ones I made up. At Hanoi Jim 123.
Hey Hanoi.
Grab a mirror, Dave, you sick fuck, for trying to peg Monique. Hashtag Dave digs dick. Hashtag maybe try docking instead. Hashtag try bums and cocks. Hashtag boy curious. Hashtag little drummer boy.
I think I got it all mixed up last week, dogging and pegging and docking. But anyway, just, here we are.
But as long as your grinder profile still reads all right, who cares?
My mum is still so proud that I went to uni so I could talk about these stories on air.
9.
At Rob Musgrave.
Hey, Robbie.
Grab a mirror, me. And then he put in brackets, put him in it, but he actually didn't. For doubting that at former underscore legend would be able to keep it to 10 Grab a Mirror nominees each week. No more hashtag equal 10 in 2021.
Yeah, no equal 10s. Farley equal 10. Never to be seen again.
8.
At Brick Carton.
Hey, Bricky.
Put a story in here about the Oatley Hotel, Sid.
Yeah.
It says, looks like we won't be long until Oatley Pub will be back open again, but it almost went very wrong yesterday when an arsonist set the IGA garbage area on fire against our building. Heat damage and lots of electrical damage, but it could have been a lot worse. A huge cheer to the fire brigade who saved their local. And Brick Carton says, grab a mirror at Sid Punts. You magnificent bastard.
Uh-huh.
Not only did you save the local from burning down and ensure that Beryl still has a workplace, but you didn't even brag about it on social media. A true hero. Hashtag saviour. Hashtag put your bins out. Hashtag fire starter.
Well, as you know, former, I'm not one to blow my own trumpet. The phrase hero gets
bandied. You certainly could. I've seen it. You'd certainly could.
The phrase hero gets bandied around a lot. But in this case, it's true. I did see the bins on fire and I sprung into action. I've always got a plan in place around the back of IGA. And, yeah, I didn't want to mention it, but thank you. Who was that said it?
Brick Carton.
Yeah, thanks, Bricky.
So the stories of IGA not being able to move 4 dozen barbecue chooks and deciding to burn the joint down as an insurance job, that's not true.
Well, look, let's hope they don't look too closely into it, but at least the pub was saved.
Equal 10.
Oh, I pressed the wrong one.
7.
At MP6868.
Hey, MP.
Grab a mirror, all the Roosters fans talking about bravery, courage and adversity. What do you want to do, rename Anzac Day? What about the Sharks and Tigers who played the whole season without any origin players? Hashtag brown bags, hashtag finally under the salary cap.
It's true, the word bravery gets bandied around a lot, but I've got to be honest, I saved the pub, mate. I saved the pub and IGA.
6.
At blocked user 2217.
Hey, Blocky.
Grab a mirror at Mia Khalifa. Oh, no, Mia Malkova. Put her in it. You're at Fleshlight, put a minute, instructions. Ask me to sit back and relax, but then promise to release the Kraken into my old fella as it thrusts through intense trenches of spiky bumps.
Ugh.
You've scared me off and I'll be settling back for the curtains. Hashtag love tunnel of doom.
That doesn't sound pleasurable at all, but I'll still give it a crack.
5.
At Andrew Ferguson, the stats man.
Yeah, speaking of big schlongs.
He put in a picture of these things that are apparently on his milk bar corner that says they're called Cosby surprise balls.
I did see that.
And they're for kids. They're little egglets of toys and lollies, I imagine.
Someone in marketing is getting sacked right now.
Hashtag grab a mirror in my local corner shop for selling Cosby surprise balls, to which I wrote back, did you wake up with them resting on your chin like everyone else?
Jeez, I slept for hours. What happened? I only had half a drink.
What a sleep. These hairs between my teeth.
Andrew, please send me a Cosby ball, please. It's going up in the studio.
A pair of them. You need a pair of them.
Yeah, send me 2.
4.
At Carbon Knife 721.
Hey, Carby.
Jensen Thompson. Hashtag grab a mirror at Craig Kelly MP. Put him in it. Hashtag put him in it. Fuck off with your ad during SAS Australia. I do not want to see the physical embodiment of the Super Size Me documentary on my TV. Hashtag fatty McOld fuckhead. Hashtag please retire.
Who watches that SAS show? What is it called?
SAS Australia.
Who watches that?
Not me.
No, I've never seen it. Can I have a go now?
I'm really looking forward to this. You said that you've saved your best for second last.
Yeah, I've had this for 30 weeks, but I thought, no, hold off, hold off.
Here it is, boys and girls.
Yeah, like, why have we talked it up? It's rubbish. But anyway, grab a mirror, this guy, former. Here's the headline from the Daily Star newspaper in the UK. Man with diaper fetish hasn't used a toilet for 5 weeks after wearing a nappy 24/7.
We've all been on end-of-season trips.
This takes the cake, man. A man has shared his rather niche fetish of wearing adult baby diapers. He claimed he hasn't properly been to the dunny in 5 weeks. Humphrey Brown from You Guessed It.
Down to Florida, we welcome you to the Sunshine State. They're kicking back and soaking up the rays every day in Florida.
Florida resident Humphrey Brown says he has had an attraction to diapers from an early age, wearing them from when he was born like a normal person, but refusing to stop wearing them like a sick bastard, even sneaking away in school to wear them under his clothes. Humphrey recalled how his obsession had escalated when he became an independent adult. "I do use the diaper for what it's intended to," he said. "As we're sitting here right now, I've just laid a massive cable." People who are interested in urine, that's a completely different fetish. Those people are weirdos. "I just love the feeling of shitting myself. My biggest fantasy is to be in front of thousands of people and just shit myself, like the Panthers do at finals time." Miraculously, this weirdo has somehow found himself a wife, and lo and behold, she too likes to wear nappies. In fact, the pair were married wearing nappies in front of 50 disgusted guests. Now, people with this fetish are often referred to as adult baby diaper lovers, or Abdul, or as other people refer to them, people with overly obsessive practices, or poops. So grab a mirror, you fucking weirdos. Grow up, get your nappy off, grab some talcum powder because you've got a bit of a rash down there. Put your big boy pants on, Humphrey, you fucking sicko.
Three.
At Horatio McMutt.
One of the great Twitter handles.
Hey, grab McMutt. A mirror, NRL fans on Twitter. "I haven't seen a bigger group of tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists outside of a Taylor Winterstein seminar. Fuck me. Not everyone is against your team. Stop crying. Put on some big boy pants, not nappies,
yeah,
and move out from your parents' basement. Hashtag all teams have them."
It's true. But that's what makes rugby league so good. We whinge, we bitch, we moan. Somehow the game survives.
Two.
At Origin Matt Riley.
Hey, Matty.
Hashtag grab a mirror. That fella from down under. Thanks, pal.
Hey, pal. Is that it? That's his grab a mirror.
That's his grab a mirror.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Hey, pal. What got number one this week?
One.
At Sacker Bob.
Hey, Sack.
Grab a mirror, Boris B, you sultry minx. Your suggestive tones and dominatrix approach have been a real turn-on for months. But my half-mongrel has a life of its own now you've added being double-jabbed into your repertoire. A sordid but sensual tale. Hashtag straight to the wank bank. Hashtag pegging with the premier.
People are going crazy in lockdown.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping
you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, bucks or hens night coming up? Mayor Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom made t-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mayorinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mayor Inc. has you covered.
Go to mayorinc.com.au. Go to mayorinc.com.au.
NRL round preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
Yes, and every time this week we preview the upcoming round, of course, with just a couple of games to go. It's week three of the NRL semi-finals, and of course we get our great friend Duncan McRae from Bluebet on the line. How are you, champion?
Former, good evening, all the mad listeners out there. Yeah, pumped up. My bunnies are in the final four. We're on the right side of the draw. I'm a bit scared, but I think we have to mention Parramatta last week. What a performance from the Eels. I thought they'd be hard to beat when we had our chat last week. I thought they'd really turn the corner when they beat Melbourne a couple of weeks ago. And they were terribly unlucky. And I don't know how Penrith are going to turn up with 17 this week.
How about the fine Penrith trainer today for going on the field? That is little consolation for Parramatta, who probably had the momentum stolen away from them with that bloke walking onto the field at that stage of the game.
Yeah, just ridiculous. Like rugby league, we all love it, Formo. It's the greatest game of all, but geez, there's some things there that need to be fixed. I tell you, they're going over the top in areas that, like bringing trainers into the game now, and surely there's got to be a thing. If he's holding his head, fair enough, but he's holding his foot, you just keep playing.
I totally agree, mate. The whole thing looked completely staged to me.
The great man's got form too. So and can you imagine in the Penrith bubble, they're probably all patting him on the back. Oh, thanks, mate.
Good work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I feel for the Eels because let's be honest. They've been out the same game the last 3 years and haven't performed, but I don't think anyone can say they did name up at that game.
They had a red hot go. I tell you what, talking about blokes that sort of stayed down, Blake Ferguson. Miraculous comeback from what I thought he'd been shot in the face. And
I would love a microphone on what's it, Mitch Kenny? Is that his name?
Yeah. Whatever he said, it was beautiful.
What he said to him? What he said to him? Because I don't think it was no, is your neck okay, Blake? I don't think that was the.
You might have reminded him of his boxing career or something. I don't know.
It was the quickest play the ball we've ever seen.
And swinging from the bleachers.
Didn't he bounce up? Like, let's be honest. Like,
embarrassing.
Here we are blaming trainers. We blame referees, but the players have to take some onus here.
100%.
Just to go, we tied the game up. He got up and played the ball. Had he stayed down, they would have got the penalty and tied it up. And then you look at the other one when Neocora hit. Was it one of the props? He just stood in front of him.
Yep.
And they got a penalty. I think the players have got to take some onus here and the players association get together and say, look, where do we want to head in this? Because it is tough for the officials. So I think the players have got some responsibility here, which direction they want to head with it.
Makes it very hard to tease soccer players when that sort of thing happens, doesn't it?
No, I know, like Fergo, like even just stay down, man. You made yourself look like it. Let's be honest, he's not the smartest cat, by the way.
So he's not.
Let's just leave that one there for the great man.
So. Let's look at Friday night, and of course it is your South Sydney Bunnies who celebrate the arrival of Anthony Milford next year, which has got you on the edge of your seat, I know, I'm sure. The Bunnies are paying $1.70 at Ben Barber Oval on Friday night, and they're taking on the Manly Warringah Seagulls, who are $2.15, of course. Handicaps at 1.5, very skinny. Just before we started recording, you said it's $1.90. Take your pick. You're about right, mate. What do you think?
Yeah, former. I think it's going to be a toss of the coin game. I think this is split straight down the middle. You know, everyone says, yeah, the Bunnies got the week off, but as we spoke about off-air format, that was a training run against the Roosters. The Roosters ran out of steam. That was a reserve-grade team, and that was just a confidence builder, yep. You know, to be honest with you. And after their performance against Melbourne, look, I think it's going to be a ding-dong battle. I'm going to tip the Bunnies in a tight one, you know, but it's no surprise if Manly win, and that's taken my supporters' hat off. I think it's a dead set split down the middle. I think it's going to come down to, you know, just a little bit of luck and, you know, who does the little things well and who hangs in. But because Manly are a big side, and I think that's where we're going to struggle against them. We're not, you know, we've got Nichols and Cameron Murray. They're great players, but then the size of Manly is really going to stretch us. So we're going to have to really get in early, make some good first-up tackles, and hopefully that left side, I think, will really test sort of Morgan Harper and the winger there. So that's where we're going to attack. And
that's where you've got to attack, isn't it?
And even the right side, Brad Parker, he really echoes in, but we have to get forward first, and then if we can run those plays at those guys, I think we're in with a real hope.
Yeah, I mean, just... they measure up so well, both teams. Where one's weak, one's strong, and vice versa. I'm just going to back the Bunnies myself too, mate. I've got no absolute confidence or anything in it. I just think the class of Reynolds and Walker down the business end of the game just might get them home. But
and we haven't mentioned one word.
Yeah, I know. But
Wayne, we got Wayne. We do have Wayne.
Well, I thought you were talking about Turbo.
No, please, we have. In Wayne, we trust. Please, he'll be the best player out there, Wayne. I like how Dez just hopped out of that press conference, didn't want to say anything. That was classic stuff. Can't wait for him. It's going to be a great game, and I'm pumped up. Hopefully it's a sellout up there. I think there'll be plenty of fans there, plenty of Manly and South fans north of the border, so it's going to be a good one.
And you said you will break the New South Wales curfew. Do go and see the grand final if the Bunnies do make it. So it's
Can I just be like that? Remember that grand final where the parachute bloke hit the roof at the footy stadium? That could be me. I was there that day. I'll never forget.
Well, we go to Saturday and we're playing it just before the AFL grand final, which I actually think is a good idea too. It's the Melbourne Storm against the Penrith Panthers, who looked a little bit battle-hardened but wounded. The Storm are $1.30 with Bluebet. Penrith Panthers are $3.55. Handicaps at 9.5, obviously, to the Panthers. $1.90, take your pick. This one seems a little bit easier to pick, Dunks.
Yeah, it is, Former. And I think we look at the games, but also the time of the game. As you mentioned, it's going to be a day game, which we never see in semi-finals. And when you're a good side, you very rarely play in the day. You usually got the Friday night and Saturday night games. So I think that's going to take even more toll on the Panthers. You know, let's be honest. You know, that was an amazing performance by both teams last week. Probably his most physical game I think I've nearly ever seen. It just was just bash and crash from minute one to minute 80. You know, obviously, they welcome back To'o. Few nagging injuries. You know Melbourne are going to come out strong and they're going to try and blow them off the park in the first 20. You know, it's hard not to tip Melbourne in the form they are. And, you know, just that week off makes such a difference this time of year. And very hard to tip Penrith even, you know, in a grand final replay. But I just can't have them.
I just think the only way Penrith will win is if they're leading. They've got to be leading around the 30-minute mark. If they're behind by their at that stage of the game, then they'll never get back in front. I just think the Storm are leaders. And once they hit the lead, especially a classy outfit like this against a busted-up side,
struggled to score points for them. They've struggled to score points.
Which is weird, isn't it? I watched them last weekend and just thought, there's something not clicking here. I don't know if it's Luai just not back in that form that he was before Origin. I don't know.
Yeah, well, what about when he looped around that time and there was that gap there and he put the grubber through? He could, you know, midway through the year, he just would have burned him and just taken it on and... You know, I just think you lack a bit of class there with Mongerowski and Dylan Edwards. You know, I just can't see them scoring 20 points, which I think they'll need to beat Melbourne.
Yeah, that's about it too, mate. The Dally M, who are you liking halfway through?
It's just handing the turn. I did see a thing today where they said the greatest finishers in the world, and I've seen on Twitter for them, I'll punch it too, where they'll compare Daly Cherry Evans to Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Ronaldo. Like, I, I know Daly's obviously close to his mother, but that's really taking the course. Like, did you see that for
unbelievable. Him? Unbelievable. I reckon even Daly would have went, I'll pull it in, boys. This isn't going to end well for me.
I thought it was April Fool's, but look, he's a good player. He's had a great career, but come on, man.
I don't think we've got anyone close to Michael Jordan and the rest of them, but I'll tell you what, Daly's further away than some of them, I'll say that.
Yeah, maybe Jamie Carragher is as close as we get to that. <answer. laughs>
She would have been close to Tiger at one stage, I'd imagine.
Yes.
We'll talk to you next week, of course, if Madge's survived, which is great news.
Formal, talk to me. You're the Tigers, man. Talk to me.
There's a lot of journos with a few noses out of joint because the sources they've been using have been off. And they've just found out. So
is Justin Pascoe still there?
Oh, his hair is. I don't know if he is, but
former. Surely you and I can do a better job of that, Kat. Oh, come on, man.
He's made Marina Go look like Ken Arthurson.
Marina Go, stop it!
On that note,
nominated for Administrator of the Year, Chairman of the Year, sir.
I'd just like to have one game in September, mate. Just one. It'd just be nice.
You're like I was when I was in high school for the buddies. It was a long drought.
I'm not pulling as often, but I know what you're saying. Dunks, we'll talk to you next week, of course. Good luck this weekend. I genuinely do hope the Rabbitohs have a red-hot crack and maybe...
Oh, just get us there, Foreman. Just get us to the GF. That's all I ask. Just get us there.
Then you've got to get to the GF yourself.
That's it, mate. Thanks, brother. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you. See you, mate.
Bye, man. Bye.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
Well, because that was recorded earlier with Former and Dunks in the CFMEU studios, and I'm stuck here in the Craig Gower quarantine studios, here's my tips for the week. Won't take long. Bunnies will win. Storm will win. And now we go to a Patreon subscriber. And this week we've got Shifty Supplier.
G'day boys. It's your guest tips for this week. Shifty Supplier. Coming to you live from a tin shed in the Sunshine Coast hinterland. I'm here to tell you to jump on into Patreon and join us. Have some fun, pay some bloody money for this podcast, or I'm going to start increasing the amount of fentanyl in next month's shipping. Righto, tips, boys. Two games this weekend, both at Suncorp. The Bunnies play the Eagles. I don't see the geriatrics from the Bunnies containing the back line from the Eagles. These blokes are so old that I've started calling them the 2023 Tigers. And the second game for the weekend, Saturday afternoon, 4:05 p.m. Remember that date and time, as when the Panthers season came to a premature end. Because, boys, I think they look a little flaccid and the Storm are not going to be troubled here. Well, I'm going to go. These tins won't drink themselves.
Yeah, there you go, Sid. But let's end the show with this.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
It's the boy sack mail and feedback time, and we start with the comp with, well, three games to go. Two this week, one next week. And Dean Chalmers is still in the lead on 161 tips.
Look, I'm happy for you, Dean. That's great. You're doing well. Where's the black Jesus?
Well, second is Paul Croucher, the San Benito Bullet, on 160.
On you, Crouchy. Good job.
Couple of blokes on 159. Super Troopers 13 on Johnny Williams. And Black Jesus is also on 159. So he's two behind.
Probably needs
an upset or two.
Just go all the upsets.
To feature from here.
If anyone can get a miracle, it's got to be Black Jesus.
Yeah, you'd think so. He can walk on water. Yeah. He needs to come back from the dead, basically. Yeah, so that's about it. There's no one from behind 159 that can probably cause much damage.
And in the tipping comp between you, me, Dunks, and the creditors, all year I've bagged the creditors, but they've leapt out in front. We just had Shifty Supplier. He's gone an upset. So there's a chance that Sid Punts, who's coming second, could overtake the creditors, or there could be a tie, in which case, if the creditors and Sid Punts tie, Sid Punts wins because I'm in charge of this shit show. So we'll see what happens. A count back, no matter which rules you apply, I win.
Now, look, we've got two letters this week.
Well, before you go on to your letters and finish off the show, I know you don't like talking about my other podcast.
Oh, yeah. Good luck, Normie.
It never ended well before. But this is different to Normie's podcast, whatever that shit show was. Mine is going to be on the Horde, THEHORDE.com. Go and check them out in the off season. What I will be doing
the Chode.
TheHorde.com.
Right.
Go and check it out. I'll be doing a podcast series, 4 episodes or something, in the off season. If you want to go have a listen, go have a listen. If not, piss off.
And what's it on? It's on Supercoach or something, isn't it?
It's not going to be on Supercoach. It's still to be announced. I'm trying to build the excitement. And geez, you're helping me along there. That's great.
How to do Supercoach. Gather around, people. Couple of letters here.
Yeah, who we got this week?
First one's quite formal, actually. It's from the Australian Medical Association.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Mr. Legend and Mr. Punts, for many years we've been the leaders in the development of preventative and rehabilitative medicines and treatments in Australia. We've spent thousands of hours and millions of dollars to provide Australians with the best possible outcomes when faced with the adversity of becoming sick or injured in their daily lives. But now we realise we've been wasting all our time and money for years. All we had to do was blow a whistle, award a penalty, and miraculously all the sick and injured people would jump up and instantly be okay. So thank you, Mr. Ferguson, for showing us the errors of our way. Yours sincerely, the AMA.
That was a shocking look, wasn't it?
Now, you were going to do a grammar mirror tonight. Explain to everyone what it was going to be about. It features Daly Cherry Evans.
Ah, it was that fantastic Matt Nabel thing, that atrocity.
Basically, if you haven't seen it, it's a build-up for this weekend. But basically they've put – I can't even say it properly. I can't even say it without laughing. They've put Daly Cherry Evans in the company of Michael Jordan, Kobe,
basically
Tom Brady and Ronaldo.
Basically, Matt Nabel has run out of inspirational speeches. He sounded like Madge McGuire when we lost 6 in a row. He just there's only so many times you can trot out the same shit.
Well, here comes a letter from probably our most famous letter writer so far, Sid.
Oh, wow. How exciting.
It's from Michael Jordan. Hi, guys. Who the fuck is Davey Cherry Owens? And why is he getting mentioned in the same breath as me, Kobe, Tom, and Ronaldo? Thanks very much, MJ. Hashtag number 23.
Love you, MJ. Thanks, brother.
MJ might stick around for some trivia, Sid.
Okay, let's do that.
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his 2-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's former legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
I'm going to put it out there. Dave's a sick bastard.
Yeah.
Now, Sid, how about this? Yeah. What exactly are people fantasizing about most in the bedroom these days? Well, the single most popular sexual fantasy amongst Americans in a recent survey is multi-partner or group sex.
Interesting.
Followed by BDSM. I don't know what that is. I think it's a radio station John Laws is still on or something. Novelty / adventure and taboo / forbidden sex. Now, just looking down this list, I don't see sex with a mullet, bloke with a mullet, two bad knees who likes KFC, but I'm sure it's there somewhere. So
it's got to be on the top of somebody's list. Somebody.
Maybe that's taboo / forbidden or novelty. Novelty. Now I think about it. How about this? 15% of women report they have never experienced an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
100%. That have been with former legend.
It's only funny because it's true.
How many shows we got left?
One show.
One show. How exciting.
Ever.
I want to know when it's ever start. You're playing games with my heart. See some action, baby. Am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action?
Baby, am I gonna see some action, baby?